This episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast is brought to you by WPBoost.net. If you care about speed and conversion and SEO of your website or your clients' websites, then you better check out WPBoost.net. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Jantz and my guest today is Park Howell. He's a 30-year advertising industry veteran, owner of the business of story and author of a book called Brand B Witchery, How to Wield the Story Cycle System to Craft Spellbinding Stories for Your Brand. So, Park, welcome to the show.
John, thanks for having me back. I think we were discussing, I was here about 4 years ago with you and had a chance to work with your group out in Scottsdale. So it's great to reconnect.
Yeah. And I'm sure your story hasn't changed since then.
Well, a little thing called a global pandemic, some travels here and there, a new book. Yeah.
I have to tell you that, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but I had to be very careful about pronouncing the name of your book because it's very easy to stumble over the W in there. And then you're just like left with, or just Bitchery or something. I don't, you know. So I was really getting my mouth ready to articulate. Am I the first one to point that out?
You are. And my art director, the Luis Medina, the CD that I worked with forever, he's the design the cover for it. Maybe that's why he put the big flying W in there so it stands out. But no, you're the first one. It's not Brand Bitchery. It's Brand Bitchery.
Yeah, Brand Bitchery would be is your next book. A decidedly different point of view. So I remember 20 years ago when I'd go out and talk to small business owners and say, you got to put your story in this. They want to hear about you and your struggle. And they would look at me like, you're crazy. You know, I'm not talking about me. This is all about the company and about our products and not about me. But now stories everywhere. But I guess because it's become sort of this thing that us marketers just banter around. If I'm a small business owner and they go, I keep hearing about this story stuff, but what are you talking about exactly? Like, could you succinctly define when you say story, you know, what does that mean to a small business, a marketer?
Yeah, it means connecting with that Homo sapien sitting across you, clicking through on your website on a level, on purely a problem solution level. And that's what story is. It's all setup, problem, resolution. But in business, we get so used to just trying to sell features and functions, we don't spend enough time on the problem. And we just like show up, here, you want to buy something. Act one, act three. And story is about really amplifying act two. A client of mine said it best when he said, and this is about 10 years ago, his name was Trevor Hill. He said, Park, you know, all sales is find the hurt, amplify the pain, heal the wound, which is – perfect story structure, by the way, setup, problem resolution. And that's what story is, but very few businesses do it well.
All right. So, okay. I get what you're saying there. And again, I'm just being the small business owner, but okay. How does that, okay. I get that. I'm trying to solve problems. So maybe I better figure out what the problem is, but I mean, how do I use that idea? You know, what are the practical ways that I then turn around and use that?
So one of the very fundamental frameworks that I teach, John, is called the and, but, and therefore. And it's this, it's three-act structure. And is a statement of agreement, sets the stage, but here's what we're solving for. And therefore, here's how we solve it. And it places the brand at the end of the story because you are going to solve their burden for them. When you do that, it also makes you place your audience or customer at the very center of the story. It is all, everything that you have to talk about your company and your product and service is fine, but your story is not about you and it's not about what you make, but it's about what you make happen in people's lives. And this is the paradigm shift. When we're writing our about pages and our websites and our bullets, it's always about our features and our functions with a little bit of benefit sprinkled in, but it's always from the brand standpoint. When you think in story, you always have to think from the audience standpoint. Tell them a story from their perspective in the world. So that's the first thing storytelling does, is it makes you make that shift.
Yeah, but I've been in business 10 years and I've got 30 years of experience and, you know, Midwestern values. And I mean, because that's what we see all over websites, right? I mean, that's before we get to even talking about products, it's all about, you know, us so often. And, you know, for all the, you're just doing a terrible job, Park, because for all of the, you know, all the talk about story, I still see a lot of really bad examples.
Well, because most people don't do it very well.
Yeah,
so here you've got your website. Let's go to your homepage, your landing page. Will you look at it, do the pronoun test? Are you talking about we, you know, us, or are you talking about you, the customer? You are looking for this. You have this problem. You are in need of this. That's first and foremost. You put it now. If you want to jump over to the about section, I want to learn more about John. Yeah, I'm going to tell John's story from John's perspective, but it's always thinking of the audience so that they can live vicariously through John's story to be able to connect with you on a human level. I mean, you've heard it a million times. You've been around as long as I have in this business, is people buy from people, not businesses. So that about section is about you and your story, and what are some of the things that you have overcome that explain the Simon Sinek why you do what you do. And then everything else is based from your audience perspective, not the brand's perspective. That's the shift I would talk about there in storytelling.
Yeah, you know, one of the challenges I find is, and I'll stop beating you up over this.
Keep it,
because you know, I was, you know, I'm a believer. So I mean, all I was really trying to do was play sort of what I hear, you know, out there as the objection, but. One of the challenges I find is that if you're going, and I'm sure you do this, you go to a business owner and say, what's the real problem you solve? A lot of times they don't really know. I mean, because they think people are buying their products and their services as opposed to trying to solve a problem. And a lot of times the problem is almost seems detached from the actual solution or the product. So what are some ways that you have discovered to help people truly understand the problem that they solve?
Have you ever heard of that five whys exercise? Sure. Why this, why this, why? So I would drive people to that. Is just get down, because that fifth why generally reveals what the real problem is. So let me give you an example of this. Just working in one of our Build a Better Brand Story sprints with an extraordinarily accomplished female executive with international experience, run three different major companies over in Singapore and Malaysia and maybe London. I can't remember where the third one. Anyways, she and her husband now have relocated. They're in Manhattan, and she wants her final big chapter in life to be substantial, where she is helping female entrepreneurs just like her with international aspirations to help them build. And these are women that are already running big companies. Mm-hmm. So I kept asking her that, John, what problem do you solve? Oh, well, I help them, introduce them to my networks in different areas so that they don't have to build their own network and I save them time there. I said, okay, that's one thing you do, but what problem do you solve? Oh, well, I know the markets and I've curated all the content and the information so they don't need to do that. They can just ask me for it, you know, and I can, okay, cool. That's two things. But what problem? So we went through this about five different things. Finally, there was this long pause and everybody in the session was kind of waiting for the answer. And she looked up and it was a total aha in her eyes. And she said, loneliness. I solve loneliness. And I go, oh, it's lonely at the top. And she says, especially for women executives. And I go, there you go. Now, everything else you do is in the solution to this lonely executive who's trying to do her best, but she needs more support. And you were there, moral support, information support, network support, you name it. It was loneliness. So that's really hard to get to.
And you know what I love about that example is I bet you if you went out and asked some of her clients, they wouldn't necessarily be able to articulate that. But were you to share it with them, it's like, you know what? You're right. That's been my experience. And I think that's what's so hard about this. You can't just ask somebody.
Yeah.
You know, but I will say this, a secret weapon of mine over the last couple of years, particularly because it's become so, just everybody's doing it. Every industry is doing it, is reviews. I love looking at Google reviews because so often people will just leave incredible bits of story about how you serve them, about how Jeff the technician did this, about you know, the fact that you show up on time. I mean, all the stuff you wouldn't necessarily promote above the fold on your website, but that's the stuff, that's the problem you're really solving, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never thought about that, but you're right. That is a wonderful library for insight into a company. Because what is it doing is they're demonstrating how you have impacted their world, what you made happen in their world. Again, right. It's not about what you make. In that earlier example, she makes networks happen and she makes curated information happen. But it's like, oh, you do that all to cure loneliness.
That's right.
So, you just got to keep digging, too. I thought she was going to punch me through the Zoom camera. I kept saying, yeah, that ain't it. Keep going. And then she landed on it.
So do you come across people like this all the time. It's like, well, I don't have a story because I'm just an accountant, you know, or whatever it is. I mean, a lot of particularly industries that feel like they're, you know, they're not emotional or, you know, they don't have the natural sort of ingredients of story. So, you know, how do you help a business like that see that they do indeed have a story?
Yeah, I would work with that accountant. And you're right. I've had that same problem too, especially in the B2B world, to say people aren't buying from me. They're just buying my company. No, they're buying from a human being, you. Go back. Why do you do this? What is it? Are you like really, if they're good, if they're already good, that you know that they've got something in the game emotionally that they just dig being an accountant. Yeah. What I will do is ask them to go back, and they can typically find two scenes in their life where curiosity and passion crossed. They intersected somewhere. And in that intersection was the spark that said, I'm going to be a numbers guy. I want to help people with their taxes. I want to help people stay out of bankruptcy, whatever it is. And then they forget about that. But there is so much gold in that story of revealing why you do what you do through these couple little scenes in your life. Take us to a point in time, a moment that has shaped who you are today. And I would ask everyone, if you don't do that, you are going to be a commodity. Because those that do it and tell the best stories rise above that commodity because they're selling with their emotion and like, I trust you because of that story you just told me, you know?
Yeah. AI is going to replace them all. So
there may be that.
So when you find that story, and this is one thing that I think is really potent, is that I find people that get that idea, that do truly have a story and they've unearthed it and they share it. It's a great public story, but I think there's some really potent uses for story internally. You know, as a driver, as an attractor, talk a little bit about how you might. And I guess I'm asking a couple of questions. How do you unearth that story? And then do they need to be two different stories?
It depends on who your audience is. Always, who's sitting across from you? What do they care about? And how are you going to tell a story to beckon them into your world so that you're telling it from their perspective? So it could be a story told several different ways to get, you know, someone bought into it. I taught at Arizona State University for 5 years as an adjunct while I was doing building business of story. And I was working with executives from around the world in a master's course in sustainability, and I was teaching them this program, and it was, you know, like Phillips Electronics, Cummins Diesel, these big time companies that were trying to launch something internally. So where I would always get them to do is to like, okay, say John, it's you, and say you are working at Cummins Diesel and you are head of sustainability and you are launching a big new enterprise, but people don't really know you as the sustainability guy because you've been in supply chain and whatever. The first thing we have to do is figure out, why do you care about this? And here's the thing. And if you've made that move into sustainability, then there has been something in your life we found that even maybe just as a young man that is now showing up in your career, that you tell your story of why that is important to you. And then it's the intersection of that and why business is important to you. And you are there to now bring business up to speed in this social issue or this environmental issue or this supply chain issue. But you are telling that story from your perspective. Now, all of a sudden, you have to go in front of the CFO to defend your budget. And maybe that CFO isn't going to really much care about you as a Boy Scout back in the day, walking through a timber fall following a forest fire and something in you clicked and 30 years later you were bringing that into the world. But he's going to want to hear a story about how you effectively use the finances in the company for past projects to build trust, and how now you are going to overlay that into this sustainability initiative, which is going to drive business results and actually increase ROI while reducing expenses and risk. So same story-ish, you're coming from the same John narrative background of informing who you are today, but depending on your audience, you're going to tell that from a different perspective to get the same end. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Those two audiences had different problems that your story solved. Yeah.
So the first audience is you want them on board saying, yes, I'm with you. The second audience is like, oh God, you're pushing this sustainability initiative on me. All it's going to do is cost me money. You have to go in and overcome that.
And now let's hear a word from our sponsor. The website has become the hub of your business. But if that website loads slowly, people, visitors, they won't tolerate that. And guess what? Neither will Google. It's become an increasingly important factor in ranking your websites, how fast your site loads. If you want to find out if you've got an issue with this, if you want to find out how to fix this, check out WPBoost.net and see if they can help you identify how to make your site load faster. That's WPBoost.net. So a great deal of the language around story is, attributed to the author of Star Wars, Joseph Campbell. that's facetiously, of course. But do you find ever that, you know, if you're talking to a group of screenwriters, the hero's journey, I mean, they're just like hanging on their, edge of their seats and can't get enough. But you're talking to a small business owner, does that idea of the hero and the guide, I mean, does some of that language get in the way because it seems sort of consultant-ish?
I don't think so. And what I found in all my studies, and yes, Hero's Journey was a big inspiration for my 10-step story cycle system, but it's complex. It's really used more as a strategy, a narrative strategy. What I'm trying to do is simply get a business owner, whether it's B2B or B2C, to switch their perspective, that it is always about the audience and the customer. And people pay lip service to that all day long. But if they really stop and listen to themselves or watch their own security tape of them talking to their customers, they're going to find that they are positioning themselves as the hero and I'm here to save the day, when the customer doesn't want to be saved. They want to be helped. And so that you've got to play that mentor or guide role. And that's the fundamental shift that has hit me upside the head from very seasoned marketers down to startups. Is like, they're like, oh crap, I had no idea. You're right. The audience is the central character in my story. That's why I really like to push that delineation between hero, which is your customer audience, and mentor or guide, which is you, because you are always in service to your customer audience.
Yeah, one of the things that I find about that point of view, when you get people to make that shift, is that I think that we underestimate that our customers or prospective customers, particularly early in the journey, even know what their problems are or that they're trying to solve, and they certainly haven't connected those those to our products. And so I have found that if you can actually be the one that says, "Here's what the problem is," maybe. That all of a sudden it's like, oh, I want to talk to you because nobody else has said that to me.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the real beauties of this. Yeah. So you mentioned the 10 steps, and I don't know if you can unpack that quickly, but I'm a big system person. So I love, your story cycle system, because I think that does make it easier, for some people to grasp, the linear order of this.
Yeah. And that's what I do in brand. Bewitchery. It's all about the story cycle system. It takes you by the hand. So just think of it. It's 10 steps, but it's broken down into the three-act structure of setup, problem, resolution. Act 1 are the first three chapters of the story cycle system, which begins with backstory. All you're going to do here is set the stage. And in this case, if you are crafting a brand narrative strategy, set the stage is, John, what's your number one position in the marketplace? What do you do differently and more distinctively than anybody else? In answer to that, what is that problem you solve? So you just start very logic brain, and it's where the rubber meets the road. I always like to start there first because we're starting in the left brain, and I'm trying to slowly move them over to the right brain. Act two, or chapter two, I should say, in act one, are heroes. Now, all I'm going to ask you to do is prioritize your top three audiences in order of importance. And as you go through the rest of the story cycle system, all I want you to do is focus on your number one audience. Then you can come back and fill in the rest, because you're going to find you're going to do the heavy lifting on your number one audience, your most important one, and then you'll fill out the rest after that. Three, chapter three are stakes. And it goes to this idea of, do they even know what their problem is? What's at stake for them to buy into what you have to offer? And in in chapter three, stakes, I ask two questions. What do they wish for and what do they want? Wish to me is emotionally. What fear are you helping them overcome? Or how are they trying to get malaise out of their life? Or whatever, what do they wish to feel like when this happens? And then what do they want to purchase, physically purchase a product or service to help them fulfill that wish? So really, act one, chapters one, two, and three, backstory, hero, and what's at stake is simply setting the stage for everything else to come. Yep. Any questions there?
Well, I don't want to make you unpack all 10 steps because I want people to buy the book. I think that was a great setup for that. Let me jump to a couple more things. One of the things that a lot of people do is they treat this as a creative exercise. They write a great story. They figure out how to put it into, you know, all of their literature and their website. But ultimately, if a story is going to be true, you have to deliver on it. And that's, you know, so how do you then take that bridge to like, okay, how do we as an organization live this story?
Great question. In chapter 12 of this, after you go through the 10 chapters, there is a whole blueprint on how do you roll out your story, your brand narrative to the world, and it begins internally. So as you are going through the story cycle system, when you get to chapter 7, you start co-creating your story with your people inside the organization, depending on how big your company is. If you're just a small, then, you know, you're going to bounce this off of a few trusted friends and advisors and that sort of thing. But you have to first get your people bought into this new narrative and refining your brand story, because they are the ones, to your point, have to deliver on the promises that you are making in telling that story. So they help you co-create it, and then they go and find where this story is already living out, has in the past and is currently living out in these little anecdotal stories about the impact on a person that you and your organization make. It could be an internal colleague. It could be a customer. It could be an external stakeholder, whomever. The idea here is to collect as many of these short little stories. These are stories I'm saying, you know, you can tell in under 2 minutes, but it's like, holy cow, that is powerful. You build that out. And as you do this in the process, you start creating your milestones of success with your customers of where you're going to tell your stories, when, and how are you going to deliver on them. So there's a whole, over the last 5 years, I've developed this whole process on how you now make sure that you tell that story well, compellingly, and then deliver on all the promises that you make in it.
We're out of time today, but I'm going to, next time I have you back, we can talk about the difference between story and narrative, because I think you were really jumping into narrative there with the idea of, you know, bits, taking bits that you rearrange and, you know, making them appropriate for the particular audience. So Park, tell people where they can find out more about the business of story and, of course, Brand Be Witchery.
Absolutely. Come on over to businessofstory.com. Like John, I've got a podcast. I've had it there for over 5 years. Every Monday, we start with a brand new artist, story artist from around the world to help you share. All of my information is, you can find there, or you can pick up Brand Bewitchery on Amazon or Apple Books. And I'm in the throes of working on my audio version right now, which takes a while. I'm learning.
Yes, it is the hardest part about being an author, I have discovered numerous times. So, Parker, it was great catching up with you, and hopefully, who knows, maybe by spring training next year, I'll find myself in Scottsdale and we can connect again.
I would love that. Thanks so much for having me on your show.